Question. Hey, Mike, for those rare moments where you do need to express extreme emotion, let's say grief, for example, what are some practical tools we can use to get there? Say I'm on set, I've got a huge scene coming up, either in the next hour or the next week, if there are different tools for each scenario, and I'm starting to feel terrified, I'm going to completely shut down and become the woodiest block of dissociated wood ever seen on screen. Any tips and tools you could share to get there would be amazing. Until then, I'll be focusing on the fundamentals, breathing as myself in front of the lens. Much love, regards, J-Dog. Answer. J-Dog. What a question, man. Yeah. Just got back from jiu-jitsu. I didn't do well. I harp on so much about breathing and doing the absolute basics well before moving on. But at some point, if you have that one self-tape or that scene being filmed next Tuesday and the story simply requires you to go all the way with an emotional release and the director or casting director walks up and says, yo, I need you to go all the way. Of course, we can hide behind a sense of purity in the work and say things like, well, my character wouldn't do that, or I'm giving myself permission to be where I'm at and I'm simply wooden today and that means my character is wooden, numb, frozen, and let's all accept that. Yeah. Let's get something straight. There are writers out there who have spent several years writing that one script. They have spent actual days deciding whether to use a full stop or a comma. And sometimes we got to do our damn job, which is bring what the writer has given us to life. Especially if the director has an editor's eye and will be thinking about the music of the script whilst filming, or the music of the edit. They might simply need a very practical point so they can build the cut. Which leads us to the painfully honest admission. Can you? Are you technically able to release on cue? Many, many times I've told myself, oh, I'll go all the way when I actually need to. Or I'll be able to do it when it's really necessary. And then when received the opportunity to actually do so, literally nothing has happened. Just sat in front of the lens like a wooden block and felt the room whisper, oh no, is that it? I spent many opportunities deluding myself into believing that I would be able to release when the situation called for it and then getting smacked back into reality when I wasn't able to. And on the flip side, I also had opportunities in rehearsal rooms where I've been extremely happy with the work that flowed, but then not able to release that work consistently in the days or weeks after. Okay, story time. I have a friend. That's right, I have friends. And that friend was being directed by one of my absolute favorite actors of the past century, regarded as one of the purest artists in the biz. An Oscar winner who consistently gave incredible performances, both on stage and screen. Someone who all the greats looked up to and still do. My friend was having a real difficult time getting to a place of release with a monologue in this theatre show. And finally, in one of the previews just before opening, he got there. He released in a way where he felt like he finally served the writing, a magical moment to have on stage. And the next day, he proudly walked to the notes session where he was excited about receiving feedback from this director. Brilliant. Just marvelous. You took my breath away, he expected the director to say. And you know what he got instead? Good work. It's never allowed to be less than that from now on. Oh, I love that story. Another story. I was prepping to play one of Shakespeare's protagonists for a show at the Sydney Opera House, and I had dinner with a director who helped build the careers of many of the UK giants from the RSC. I was hoping he would give me some kind of magic pill advice. And he told me, "Michael, remember, God doesn't descend very often." His meaning? There is a practical reality to leading a show with 113 performances, or leading a film and having to rock up every day for 6 weeks straight. Technique becomes necessary. Want to sustainably give generous work, show after show, day after day on set? Craft. Yep, no magic here, cold, hard craft. There is a very simple reality to skills here, as well as a culture of artists hiding that work behind the curtain, which makes sense. It's a profession which aims to help make an audience believe, suspend your disbelief, as Shakespeare put it. And if every heartbreaking performance is combined with interviews from that actor giving specific details about how they were able to do that scene, it removes the sense of magic. It steals the work from the audience. Damn sure, I do not want to watch There Will Be Blood knowing exactly what Daniel Day-Lewis was technically doing. I'm damn fascinated by it, of course, but please don't ruin my magical experience. Saying that, as an actor, I want to know how to get better. And, oh, I just acted. He doesn't help me do that. So, skills. The physical reality of skills. Let's go back to the body here. Honest question. If your body doesn't know what it's like to drop its guard in practice, then why would you expect it to do so when you're on set and there's 50 people staring at you? Or when you're in the casting room and there are 3 producers in suits a few meters away from your face and one of them gets up halfway through your scene to go look at a painting on a wall. True story. Yeah. To hope that will be the day where you magically give glorious free-flowing work despite having no real proof that you can go there doesn't sound like a bet worth making, does it? And yet, so many of us do it. Oh, when the moment calls for it, I will magically rise to the occasion. No, you will fall to the level of your training. All right, you get my point. Develop skills to build confidence that you'll be able to release on cue under pressure. Which leads us to the next question. How? The brain won't argue with the physical experience. Easier to have confidence in your skills when you have some actual proof. So let's go get some proof, J-Dog. Let's go teach the body it's okay to go there. This is where the world is your oyster, mate. There are many different schools of thought when it comes to training the ability to release on cue. I am... Can you hear that? I am tapping my foot against a box full of books as I type this. Some of them preaching there is only one way, and it's their way. Yeah, you can picture me rolling my eyes right now. I want to preface this with one principle, okay? What works for you for now? The goal is free-flowing self-expression, not there is a right way to do acting. Also, as we commence this discussion around techniques for emotional release, God, please be careful. I've been freaking gutted at scenarios I've seen around the world where someone is asked to drudge up childhood woes in their very first acting class and then left to walk outside afterward, physically shaking with no sense of guidance or help after. The best coaches in the business don't have time for you to romanticize suffering. The average ones do. The best don't. And if the work ain't fun, then that becomes the work, making it fun again. Okay, back to the general schools of thought, just to name a few. These are obviously very broad brushstrokes here, and obviously I've done my best to get rid of any kind of wanky terms. we're just playing make-believe. As if, right, the magic as if, using your imagination to conjure up a fictional situation, emotional recall, using past experiences and attaching them to specific dialogue or relationships in the script, physical, using the body to encourage emotional flow via the use of different physical postures or movements, such as tremor therapy or exercising to the point of exhaustion, breath, breathing at different rates or from different areas in the body to induce different emotional states, such as the chest to encourage a state of panic or anxiety, or lower diaphragm to encourage a state of grief. Dream work, the use of the subconscious to stretch oneself in the direction of their shadow and light. Repetition, simply taking that key piece of dialogue and repeating it hundreds, if not thousands of times. And then, of course, there's the no acting approach, right? Just saying that dialogue to that person you're speaking to. Obviously, this is highly dependent on the script, the director, fellow actors, situation, etc. Now, as a 34-year-old with a young daughter who now significantly influences my time, I have zero time for anything that's unsustainable right now. Anything that messes with sleep, relationships, or tomorrow's work is a no-go for me right now. And I, you know, the people that inspire me, I know they have a deep handle over their craft. And if, to quote, God doesn't descend very often, then of course I absolutely want to move in that direction. I want to be able to be on set and help my daughter with her homework, and then 2 minutes later step in front of the lens and give work I'm proud of. Not need 3 hours of solo time with headphones to give a take which is so out of alignment with the director's vision, or not be able to take notes because I'm so in my own zone, and then not need another 12 minutes to prepare for the second take. Right. You get the point. Back to those schools of thought. What will be the one for you? I'm joking. Look, just go play, go try stuff, right? Fall on your face. The more you experiment with, the more you can build your awareness. And the more awareness you develop, the more choice you will have in deciding what works for you and for now. And I really cannot emphasize those last two words enough. For now. Yeah, it's probably going to change. Permission to change as you grow. What worked for me in those first few years out of drama school is very different to what works for me now. The last film I did, there were a few scenes in particular where I believed that in order to serve the story best, I needed to hit particular moments. And what helped me most, in one scene, it was really late, I was exhausted, and I relied purely on physical movements to get me through. In another scene, I said a line of dialogue with zero acting. Right, I said that exact line to that actor because I believed it was completely appropriate to the situation. And in another, I spoke to a colleague as if they were a person I love deeply in my life and am terrified of losing. See, like it's just a mishmash of shit. It's messy. It's grey. And I think this is what I'm trying to say, that there is no one way. You got to try things. You throw away what doesn't work for you, and you keep the stuff that does, and you keep building as you go. But one thing is for sure, do the thing. Get in the room and do the thing so you can walk on set with your body knowing it is safe. Safe to release whatever work you've done. Safe to be a human being with other human beings. Safe to have moments of human connection. I hope this helps. Yeah. I do hope that helps. if you have a question you would like me to answer about your career or the craft of acting, please feel free to email me. Also, I've got one 6-week program and 1 start again program spot opening up over the next few weeks. So email me if you're curious, or just a chat. Cool. For private coaching or other resources, head to actorsblueprint.com or simply email me at info@actorsblueprint.com. Otherwise, check out the Actors Blueprint on Instagram. Have a lovely weekend.